question. Okay, but today we can voice it in her English also.
Okay, the question was that how much responsibility does the spiritual master have to the actions of the disciple? How far should this responsibility extend?
What kind of responsibility? What kind of actions?
Well, the question was in general for all the actions of the disciple, not only spiritual, but in everyday life.
Yeah, that's like a really broad spectrum. The spiritual master's main responsibility is giving spiritual guidance to a willing, sincere, open disciple. And as long as a disciple is sincerely accepting guidance, then the spiritual master's responsibility is that until he goes back home, back to Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada made references to that spiritual master will come back to guide the disciple. So in that regard, he has full responsibility to ensure for the welfare of a sincere disciple, keep giving him guidance and instruction until he goes back home, back to Godhead. And but there are so many other things in terms of, okay, what about his health? What about his business? What about his family, his children, his ashram? One should get blessings from the spiritual master, like Srila Prabhupada says, if one wants to have children and so on. But still, the sphere of the spiritual master is very general. It's giving general guidance and advice to get involved in the day-to-day. Well, you should start this type of business, or you should marry this girl or not marry this girl. That's really not so much the guru's business. However, for instance, in my case, I get involved in getting education for the children, giving blessings for the boys getting married, although not so much who marries who. That's someone else does that. That's someone else who gives guidance, since the parents aren't there to give guidance on that. So it'll be either some the counselors, the counselor group, the president, and so on. Then in terms of work someone should do, or particularly those who are full-time devotees, so their the involvement of, okay, what about their health insurance, medical care, that my involvement is the GBC, and my involvement extends as far as what Srila Prabhupada has told me to do as the founder Acharya of ISKCON. Srila Prabhupada said, this is what needs to be done. And since my responsibility is not to prepare devotees' cars, because Prabhupada didn't say I should do that, although I may, it's common sense, both as GBC as well as even Guru, that people should drive in well-conditioned cars, well-taken care cars, because that may impact upon their physical well-being, and that will impact upon their Krishna consciousness. So, in a very general way, that instruction may be there. So we all have our different dharma, we all have our different duties, and those duties are defined for us, even, for instance, as a head of a spiritual organization. Someone also has not only instructions given, for instance, by Srila Prabhupada, but by the country, by the government. There's legal obligations that you have for wards, for people under your care. But getting back to Guru, and now if we talk about Diksha Guru and even Shiksha Guru, then the obligation is in terms of spiritual guidance, and it's full. Was that what sort of what you meant?
Yes. Yes. The only other thing is that what happens if along the way there are periods when the devotee is more sincere and trying to make advancement in spiritual life, and there are other times when she just steps away a little bit.
Once again, it's a matter of judgment. It's the guru needs to make that judgment call. How sincere that person is, what their real potential is. It's natural that in the course of going forward, there are ups and downs. Sometimes people may even stay back. It's like a teacher. When the student's really picking up on everything, then it's very easy to instruct them. Sometimes the student's doesn't understand, so then it requires more patience and tolerance. Sometimes, even a good student may say, "Well, I'm not interested anymore. I don't want to do it." But the teacher knows, actually, that's not the case. He or she is capable and will be interested. It's just a phase. So he sticks with him. So in the same way, spiritual master also may have to make that type of decisionship judgment, knowing both the past service of a devotee, their nature, their personality, and people will go through phases. And as long as he's convinced that, well, even if right now they don't show so much interest, but the potential is there, and therefore we should keep fanning the spark. So that's called mercy. That's called being tolerant and patient. The only time that the spiritual master will and should or has to give up on a disciple is when that disciple becomes an aparadi. Someone who becomes a Vaishnava aparadi, and not just someone who makes an offense, because anyone can make an offense, but as aparadi is a chronic offender. So when someone becomes a chronic offender and neither sees the error of their ways nor is willing to do anything about it, then he should be given up. That's the statement of Shastra and the Acharyas. Otherwise, being excessively merciful to an offender, then the spiritual master will become an offender himself, and he'll lose his own spiritual credentials. So in that example, then spiritual master will stop. Unless and until that person ceases their offensive ways and so on. Just like Madhavendra Puri gave up on Ramachandra Puri. He just told him, get out of here. I don't want to see this person. Because he was a Mayavadi, sorry, Aparadis. And that was the case. He just offended Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the other Vaishnavas. He was a habitual offender that no one likes to see. So that's the only case where a spiritual master is obliged to stop his connection with a disciple, and he may tell Krishna that I'm sorry, I need to cut that relationship. I can't take responsibility for this person at present time. And But otherwise, there are these other aforementioned events. Hare Krishna.